It's good to be here today. I met some new people and other people are old friends, and so it's good to see you all, and it's good to meet the new people. Let's see here. So first of all, usually a pastor doesn't preach with a computer on, but we live in that age where computer is part of our lives. So I'm going to be using a computer. This is my holy computer. So some of you will have the holy Bible, but this is my holy computer. Okay. Okay. So first of all, I wanted to thank God for giving me this opportunity to be here this morning, and chose me to be His message deliverer to God's people, to you. And I also want to thank Pastor Joy and the people who are part of the decisions to invite me to be here to preach. I met with a couple of you, said that I would be a very, very good preacher, but I'm still finding my own voice in the business of preaching. So if I disappoint you, I'm sorry. But hopefully I get better each time. Some of you already know me, but some of you don't. So a little bit about myself. I'm originally from Myanmar. Because of conflict and persecution, my family moved to a refugee camp. We escaped Burma. We lived in refugee camp in Thailand for about 12 years. And then we came here through the grace and blessing of God. My family and I were safe. And we are landed in Lincoln, Nebraska, in the middle of the country. Very nice, very cold, but very kind people. So I've been living here for 12 years now. I feel like this is my home. I feel like I grew up here. I came to this church when I was a little kid. I attended the Sunday school class. This is actually home for me. So it's good to be here today. So before we get into the message, I'd like to pray for us. Dear God, we thank you for your love, for your grace, for your blessing, and for your mercy. And we pray that you'll be here with us. You'll let your Holy Spirit guide us as we share your words with one another. Let your Holy Spirit sits in our hearts. Clean our hearts so that we may receive the message in the way that you want us to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the scripture that I have chosen, or God chosen for me, is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. It reads, "Let's love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in show of honor, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, pursue hospitality to stranger, bless those who persecute you." This one is hard. "Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. These scriptures, according to many interpreters, may title these as the marks of a true Christian. Some would say this is the greatest Christian virtue. So the scripture is very clear. It basically teaches us how to live as Christians. The Bible preaches for itself. You heard it. I read. I have no more comments. This concludes our message for today. Have a wonderful day. God bless you guys. Of course, I'm kidding. But sometimes the scripture is very clear. It's very hard to preach the scripture, especially when it's preached for itself. It takes a lot of discerning and consultation with God and the Holy Spirit. If you ever visit a Korean church or know about the Korean church, Susan visited many times as she knows the Korean culture. This is why Korean pastor doesn't preach every Sunday. They preach maybe like once a month. So Susan knows. If you have any questions, preach. Reach out to her. She'd be more than happy to explain that to you. Your pastor, Pastor Joy, is very talented. God chose her to do ministry here, to be your pastor. And she is your pastor because of her love for God and you. Although it is hard and stressful to preach the word of God, she does it every Sunday when she's here. I'm having a hard time preaching this scripture, actually. So I dig a little bit. So to help us understand the text more clear, let us dive into its history. These scriptures is written by Paul. It is part of his letter. It is probably one of the longest letters he wrote. It was late in his ministry. It was before he died. You all know Paul, right? Paul used to be Saul of Tarsus. He was a Jewish rabbi, and he belonged to a group called the Pharisees. And he devoted himself to Torah and the tradition of Moses. He loved God, man. That man loved God, very brave. He thought that, you know, what he did was God's will. He was very faithful, brave man. He did it like Christians. So he persecuted them because he thought that it was the right thing to do. Until he met Jesus on the road of Damascus. After he met Jesus, Jesus commissioned him to become apostle to Gentiles. So then he started to travel all over the Roman empires, telling people about Jesus. He founded Christian communities throughout the Roman Empire. He would occasionally write letters to them to answer their questions, to encourage them, and to resolve their disputes. And the book of Romans is one of these letters that he wrote. Now, during this time of period, the church in Rome had existed for some time, as we have seen in Acts, specifically Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 2. The Christians' community there is very diverse. It's made out of Jewish and non-Jewish Christians. At one point, the Roman emperor, Claudius, expelled all of the Jewish people from Rome. Now, about 5 years later, they're allowed to be returned. And when these Jewish Christians returned, they found that the church had become very non-Jewish. Basically, there was a disagreement in the church between Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians. I'm sure a lot of you have kids, or at some point have kids. And when they are little ones, they are very messy. They can be very messy. Foods can, you know, be on the tables, crayons, color papers, all over the place, right? And we clean it up. We go outside for a walk to get fresh air, or we go to a supermarket. We come back home expecting that it would be clean and neat, right? But then we came home, we opened the doors, and we're like, oh my goodness, look at all this mess. It's a mess. So it is kind of similar to that. The Jewish Christians came back to Rome and saw that their practices, their faith was disrupted by the Gentile Christians. And so they were not very happy because they thought that the Gentile Christians were not doing things the right way. They didn't follow the Jewish customs. So in simple terms, Jew would say to the Gentile, you need to be circumcised, right? Gentile say, oh, no, we don't. No, we don't. Ouch, no. Gentiles, you know, Jews would say, you have to take a Sabbath. The Gentiles said, nope, we don't. What are you talking about? We work where we want to work, and we rest where we need to rest. Don't tell us what to do. And then Jews would say, you must eat kosher. Gentiles said, nope. We eat whatever we want. So there was a great disagreement between the Jews and Gentile Christians. So it was a disaster. This is why Paul needed to write this letter to them. The goal of Paul's letter was that he wanted to unify the church. He wanted the church to be on the same page. So he writes to clarify that the Jewish Christians still maintain a special place in God's purpose, and to exhort Gentile Christians to recognize their dependence on both Israel and God's mercy. So basically, Paul wrote to them to instruct them how to live as Christians. So, okay, now some of you will say, okay, T, we get what you are trying to say. We understand the scriptures. We understand why Paul wrote this letter. But how does that apply to me? How does that apply to our current society? Well, our society is not that different from that during the Roman Empire. It's not different. Christians were very rich in their ethnicities. We got Jewish, and we got the Gentiles. The Gentile was more diverse compared to the Jewish. Christians lived among many others' religions. They were not alone. They had people who are different from them. Although they were different, although the Christians were unique and different in their own way, they had to find some way to live together. Similarly, we live in a society where we, as Christians, are not alone. We have neighbors. We live in a pluralistic society filled with many Christians and religions. I say Christians because not all Christians are the same. We go outside the church and we'll see. If we go to a supermarket, we'll see. I've worked as a case manager for Lutheran Family Services for their resettlement department. And we resettle refugees and immigrants from all over the globe in Lincoln, Nebraska. Our team, I call them neighbor, is very diverse. We are from all over the world. Some of us originated in Myanmar, Thailand, Iraq, Afghanistan, Sudan, Mexico, Gambia, Ukraine, and the United States. Our society, our workplace, and nowadays our worship space is very diverse, especially here in the U.S. Our church here have more than one congregation. It is remarkable how we work together and how we live together as Christians, following what the scripture teaches us. How do we live as Christians and coexist together with those that are different from us? The scriptures we read earlier tell us how to live so. The scriptures reveals the mark of true Christian. The scripture reveals Christian virtues. I've told you, I don't need to preach today. The Bible preaches for itself. So I want to conclude with a story today. This is a story about Christians I've met who lived up these virtues. When I first came to the United States, we landed here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It was fall toward winter. It was very, very cold. And I was 12 years old. And I attended a middle school, Park Middle School. And we didn't have a warm clothes or we have the proper shoes. My brother and I wear flip-flop because that's what we had. We bring the flip-flop from the refugee camp to here. And so we went to the school and to the different classes. And then when we went to this class, there was an instructor, a teacher, who saw us. And then she took us to an office. And they have all these warm coats and shirt and tennis shoes that cover our feet. She gave that to us. And I felt loved. I felt different. She was very different. She never told me that she was a Christian. I later found out that she was a Christian, but through her virtues, she was different. Through her virtue, she made me curious. Through her virtue, she told me that she was a Christian, not verbally, but virtually, through her character and her kindness and her act. Sometimes we tell people that we are Christians through words, and that is normal. That's okay. It's good to tell people that we are Christians. And we also tell people about our faith and Jesus. That is also normal. Other times, we may tell people who we are by living out these Christian virtues. May God bless these words and bless you. Thank you.